I'm glad to see you all this morning. Am I on, Nick? Yes? No? All right. You just can't hear. All right. Well, it's good to see you all this morning on this beautiful, sunny, well, wet, sunny. Is anybody else cold? Are you all good? Well, you count. You know. I don't think I have the heater on. I can turn the heater on. You want to turn the heater on? It's right behind you, Will. just cuddle up, but that wouldn't go well if we're supposed to be distancing. But anyway, we are glad you're here this morning, and we have quite a few of our ladies out there are at a retreat. I think it's going to be ending at noon this morning, I think. So hopefully if you've been in prayer for them, I'm sure they've been hearing from God and hearing some really cool things, and that's what we've been praying for. So anyway, so let's open with the word of prayer, and then we'll get into worship. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can just come into your house. We thank you for your just the ability to come in this place. In the midst of everything that we face every single day, in the midst of the craziness and the trials that we face every single day, Father, we know that we can trust in you. And Father, Sunday morning is not a place just to the time that we only connect with you, Father. We pray that that's happening every single day, every single moment, all through the week, and that Sunday mornings when we come together, it's just a time of celebration, a time of encouragement, a time of just coming together and meeting with each other face to face. And we are so grateful for this ability and this opportunity to do this. And we just thank you so much for your love to us. And may we show that love to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Let's stand up.
Before we sing this next song, I just kind of wanted to share a testimony of how my week has gone. This week has been very long and very hard for me. It's been highs and lows, but mostly lows for me. I have my testimony a while ago is I've had friends who have betrayed me and who have rejected me and who have bullied me for being who I am, for my joy. And this week I just had another friend who I thought was a good one decide to lie to me and betray me, and not only me, but my mother-in-law as well. And so I was trying to figure out what to do for songs, and Dad was trying to ask what songs I wanted to do, and I wanted to do No Other Today as a declaration that even though men will fail me time and time again, the Lord will never fail me. His name reigns forever, and I wanted to declare that in this place today.
Open wide, blinded eyes, dry and Sinners' chains breaking free, miracles still happening. Waters part, I see mountains move. No other man carries the power to save, who crushes the power of the grave, but Jesus.
Jesus, no other hope. Trust in you.
Our heart cry today, Lord, that we will trust you in everything, every circumstance we face ourselves, that face us, Lord. We will trust in your unfailing love. Lord, I saw a quote this week that talked about we don't worship based on how our circumstances are. We worship based on who we believe you are. We speak truth in the time that we don't even know if we believe it ourselves, but we speak it anyway. Because it is the truth. You never change. Your word never changes. Who you are never changes. We thank you that we can stand on your word as our unbreakable foundation. It can never be shaken. It can never be wavered as we fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Y'all been having a good week?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Oh, to be a child again, amen. I'm having a good day. No worries. So it's been a good week. I've been kind of wrestling with some things, and I won't go into all the details of it because that'll be too transparent. but it's been an interesting journey I've been on the last couple of weeks, just in my own personal thing where God has got me and kind of rooting out some bad attitudes and some faulty thinking and I don't know whatever words you want to attach to it. But it's really interesting to wrestle with God through some things where trying to differentiate between what is a proper thought and righteous and okay to be irritated about or whatever and the things that I've just attached too much weight to. And it's been a real challenge and battle for me, and I love that I have people that have been around and see the bad attitude that your pastor has been in the last couple of weeks. I try not to get on everybody, but at the same time, trying to be as transparent as possible is going to happen. And the more you get to know me, you'll be like, oh, right, he's not in a good place. And I know, as much as I enjoy that, it's coming back to bite me, which I'm glad it is. But it's really cool to have those people in your life that even when you're not saying something, they're going to address you and go, look, what's going on? And they push and push and push until you finally kind of start talking about what's going on in your life. And when it comes out, they listen to the bad and the good, and they say, well, this is faulty, and you can kind of work into this some more, and you know, cut this off, and you work on that. So I've been on a journey. It's been a really interesting, it's nothing new. I'm in this constant journey, but, just has been a little more focused in the last couple weeks, and I've appreciated it, but at the same time, kind of hated it at the same time, because I just like, oh, and then you start feeling like, why in the world am I standing up here when I have these issues in my heart, you know? It's like, I'm not qualified to stand up here. That's a good thing, because the day that I think I'm qualified to stand here is the day that you all need to kick me out. All right, that's just my thoughts, all right? So that's just kind of giving you a little bit. So again, I'm not trying to like, oh, is he going to preach something weird? No, I'm not preaching something weird. I just want to give you kind of, if you've sensed anything over the last couple of weeks, kind of like, man, it kind of seems a little bit off. I have been a little off. But here's the beauty of, I can be a little off and still deliver the power of the Word of God, because he's the one that speaks, not me. So that's just for you to think on or whatever. But maybe it's an encouragement, because maybe some of you are walking in that same place. It's like, well, man, I'm kind of wrestling with this, whatever is going on in your life. I was like, how can I, call myself a believer and still have these questions or still have these issues or still have these battles that I walk through? How I understand it, I'm going to be battling some of those things until I get home. So I guess that's the nature of it. But I think where that kind of goes into kind of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks and what we're going to be talking again this morning. And so we are in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read through the verses that we looked at last week, then we'll continue on in verse 20. But let's look at the verses 2, 18 through what we're going to look at this morning. So 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. And we talked last week about unity and those kinds of things. But this week we're going to continue on verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. Last week we talked about unity, and last week we talked about the power of being connected together, and I just shared a little bit about being connected to the body, where I have brothers and sisters who speak into my life when they see something off, and they may not know what's going on, but they're willing to push in and ask the hard questions. And that's such a beautiful thing, because it's so easy to reach that point of where God's ready to, there's some change about to happen. And I think I shared this last week, and if I did, forgive me if I don't, because I don't remember sometimes. But there's been many times in my life where I've reached that point of change, and then I've left the situation that was causing the change. And most of the time that was a church, sometimes that was a life group, whatever it was. Because now it's getting uncomfortable, because now I have to make a choice. Am I going to change, or am I going to stay in the same place? And so often it's easy to go to if we're church hopping, it's easy to go to a new church, because now they don't know me. Now I can start over. Right, and I can look all polished and good, and right. But here's the thing: I don't want to top around and look good. I want to look good because God's actually changing things in my life. Now, I don't want this to be a superficial thing. And so, if we're not willing to dive in together, then that can't happen. And the same thing as we continue on, it's like we don't want to continue to leave these places. We don't want to continue this disunity. But here it says, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. And if we really think about that, I don't know how much you've thinking about anointing. It's all over in Scripture. That's how they brought a new king on. They anointed him with oil, right? And we do it from time to time here when we pray over people for healing. We anoint them with oil. There's nothing magical about the oil, right? It's a symbol in that moment of prayer, and it's just this point of connection. It's a powerful thing. But here's the thing. We're not talking about being anointed with oil. We're talking about being anointed by the Holy One. We're talking about being anointed, having the infilling of the Holy Spirit when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to look at a couple of verses surrounding that. I think it's really important to understand, if we don't, again, just continue to be reminded about the power that we walk in, the accessibility that we have to the Holy Spirit. So if you're at your Bibles, or you can read on the screen behind me, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's Jesus talking to his disciples, but he's talking again to us this morning. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. It's kind of fascinating me as I was reading these verses last week and again this week. The Spirit of truth. Well, that's kind of what the world doesn't want to listen to today, do they? They don't want to hear that there's an absolute truth. They don't want to believe that this is what God says. I don't have to like it. It's what he said. And if we go back to the end of last month, that passage or that sermon that we looked at, because I said so, here it is again. Because he said so, the Spirit of truth. And we can come to saying, who the world, like the verse he says, and the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. How many times, I don't know if you've run across these people, it's like, well, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. Right. Although there's evidence of who God is all over the place. Right? Well, I can't see it, so it must not be true. Okay. I mean, to me, it's kind of silly because you can kind of refute that really easily. Well, do you see the oxygen you're breathing?
Oh, no.
Okay. Then it must not be real. So you just... Right? There's so much of that we can prove, right? Just from things. But here it is. We have another helper. And Jesus is like, look, I will ask the Father to send you another helper. And he'll be with you forever. And he will dwell within you. And he'll be in you. Drop down a couple verses to verse 25 of John chapter 14. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Again, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I love that. Because as a speaker of God's word, I rely totally on what the Holy Spirit wants to say in this moment. Yes, I mean, I write little notes down, but at the end of the day, I always give him full permission to change whatever he wants to do. It's a little easier now, but when I first started speaking with very limited notes, it was terrifying when he changed the total message on Saturday night, because it took hours to write how I used to do messages and have my editor edit them and go like, I know what you're trying to say, but that was my wife, by the way. And I would have her look at my message, and she's like, what are you saying? Do a rewrite. You know, oh, okay. Right? But it used to terrify me. No, God, don't change it, because I have my notes. I have it all spelled out what I'm going to say. And I love this. Like, look, relax. I got this. right? So I don't have to rely on what, yes, it's my job to study, it's my job to sit in Scripture, it's my job to, Father, what do you want to say to your people today? But at the end of the day, in the moment, he's going to bring remembrance to, like, this is what I want you to say. This is a scripture I want you to use. This is the pieces I want you to bring out of it. And that's just not for me. That's for every single one of us who have that have reached that moment in time where we said yes to Jesus. And we said, you know what? I want to live and I want to be alive. I don't want to live in this dead life anymore. And in that moment, we have the Holy Spirit that comes in and he brings remembrance. What I love is when he brings us remembrance about things I don't even remember reading in the first place. I love that. When he brings this revelation in the moment when you're having a conversation with somebody, it's like, and it's just sometimes it's not even like I can find the verse about it, but I can find the truth of it in God's word. And it's like, man, I absolutely love those moments. And I love verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Are you hearing that? The peace that we get to walk in isn't something that we generate on our own. Because if I generate the peace on my own, that's not going to last very long. Because all I have to do is look at the outside circumstances that hit my life, and then my peace goes away really quick. But if I rely on this place and I believe that the peace that I get to walk in is the peace, is actually Jesus' peace that he's given to me, then that changes my life exponentially. And this is like, as it just says, not as the world gives you, gives do I give it to you. Because what kind of power does the peace that the world wants have? None. I mean, there's been lots of movements through all the different things. You go back to the, if I can get the right here, it was the 60s and 70s, where everything was peace and love and, you know, flower power. And that was before my time. You know, the Volkswagen bugs that were painted all great and amazing, right? They were all about peace and love, right? But if that was genuine peace and love that had power, we would be in an amazing place right now as a world, right? But that peace and love, I mean, they were chasing what this is. They were trying to tap into, in their worldly understanding, they were trying to tap into this place of peace, and they were chasing peace, but they were chasing it from a worldly perspective and not from the power of the living God. They weren't understanding from the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And again, over the last 4 months, whatever we've lived through, recently, we could be afraid about a lot of things. And again, I know I've said this multiple times, but it's like I don't know how an unsaved person lives in any, you know, frame of any kind of trial of life, but especially in the last 4 months that we've lived through. Come on. I see a lot of fear, and I've heard a lot of fear and tribulation inside the church. How much more so out? Well, we're seeing the result of it. We're seeing all the chaos. We're seeing all the confusion. We're seeing all the anger. We're seeing all the stuff that is just so ludicrous that it's like, I can't even believe this is being, you know, blatantly spoken and everybody's going along with it. It's like, how messed up has the world gotten that they can blatantly say whatever the craziness and people think that's truth? But again, I keep coming back to our roles and responsibility as a church. Going back to the 1 John, verse 20 there. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. It's our job. It's our calling to step into this world. And I know I keep harping on it, but it's our job. It's our job to step into this place, and if we go down to John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, when the Helper comes, Jesus continues to speak, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Drop down to John chapter 16, starting in verse 4. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. I was reading through this, like, sometimes I think we get on the disciples too harshly. So at least maybe it's just me. Sometimes I get on the harshly too on the disciples. But we have the totality of it. They were living this moment with Jesus, and he's talking about leaving them. Yeah, there's a lot of sorrow. When he talks about, oh, I'm gonna go die on the cross, they couldn't wrap their minds around it. We can barely wrap our minds around it, and we have the totality of the story. They're living in the midst of the story. And he's like, man, don't be sad. Because, you know, I'm telling you these things, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And I'm sure they're like, yeah, right. I'm sure they were thinking that. Because I would have been. I've been like, okay, right. It's to my advantage that you leave. Okay. Right? It's to your advantage that I go away, for I did not go, or for if I did not go away, the helper will not come to you. And again, we understand what he's talking about, but they didn't understand what he was talking about. They have him in form right here in front of them, and him trying to convince them, look, if I go away, I'm going to send someone. If I don't go, he's not going to come. I'm sure in their mind going, good, we want you, right? I mean, I don't know. That's how I would think, right? Because I have this known in front of me. And now you're telling me if you go away, you're going to send somebody. Not necessarily use the word better, but he's going to enter into my life in a different way. I'm going to respond, and I'm going to have this different thing. And he goes on to say that, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I love that. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Doesn't say will be someday. I think it's really important that we see those little words because they mean a lot. He's already judged. And yes, we see the effects that seems like he's still affecting things, and he is, but he's a defeated enemy. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So again, even with our understanding that we have that the disciples didn't have in this moment, there's still many times when this verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. I'm so glad that when I read Scripture, and there's lots of passages of Scripture that I wrestle with and don't always understand, and I sit and wrestle with it, and I so rely on this reality that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, and sometimes he reveals me what I'm struggling with, and sometimes he doesn't. And here's the thing, at the end of the day, I have to understand who I am and the anointing that I have on my life, that all of us have on our life as children of God, because the Holy Spirit resides in us, and he's going to teach us all things. He's going to remind us of all things. He's going to give us the ability to understand God's word that no one else can. I mean, doesn't Scripture tell us that when an unbeliever reads Scripture, it's just foolishness to them? I'm paraphrasing because I didn't have that right. Totally correct, right? But that's what it says. And so I understand, because even as a believer, even as a son of the living God, I look at it and go, that logically doesn't make sense. But I have to believe it, and I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Okay, what do you want to reveal to me? Why am I struggling with this? Is there something in my life that needs to change? Is there something in my life that I need to walk through? Is there something in my life that needs to be cut out and changed? And probably more often than not, the place where I really see the Holy Spirit walking and moving my life outside of Scripture is when I, as everything else in my life, is interacting with people. It's really easy to walk into situations and how I feel personally about things really doesn't matter. And I want it to matter, right? But if I let how I feel about things dictate the conversation, I'm probably going to blow something up. I'm probably going to cause a lot of damage, and I have done that. And I'm going to say the wrong thing at the right wrong time, or I'm going to say the right thing at the wrong time, because that happens too. It could be the right thing to say, but the wrong time, because that person's not ready to hear it yet. And I can't determine that unless I'm really tapped into the Holy Spirit and listening to his voice. He says, now is the time to say that word. Now is the time to be quiet. I know. And here's the thing. Because sometimes when we can see the truth in this person's life and you're seeing that they're stuck and you're seeing that they're walling around this thing and they could be freed from it and they're a brother and a sister in Christ and you just want them to be free. It's not our job to free them. That's really hard for me. It's really hard for me to watch people sit in their mess when the solution is so obvious. But I've been there myself. I've been in those places where I wasn't ready to move. I wasn't ready, as crazy as it sounds, I wasn't ready to be free. I wasn't ready to be healed. When I was at a conference years ago down in Texas, I was talking to someone after the conference, and I asked that question. I was mainly asking about kind of physical healing and these different things, and they just posed that question. Do they want to be? I was like, that's a dumb question. But then it really made me think, do we want to be? Whether it's physical, because some people, especially with the people like that have chronic pain, that have had pain for years and years, and I'm not saying this is true about everybody, so please understand this, but some people, that has become their identity. As much as it hurts, as much as it stinks, as much as it has controlled their life, they don't know anything different. And to have that taken away, which you would think is an amazing good thing, they wouldn't know what to do with the space. And I understand that there's been moments in my life where that's been true. I've had these moments and I've walked through these deep waters and I've had these moments of being stuck and being absolutely destroyed. And I know where to go. I know all the answers as far as like where to go from my source. But I chose to wall around in it a lot far longer than I needed to. And I wasn't tapping into the Spirit of truth that will guide me into that place. We have been anointed. We have been anointed. You are anointed. So why don't you bow your heads real quick and close your eyes for a moment. I know this is kind of potentially kind of weird, but I just want you to enter into a little bit with me this morning. I just want you to think about that word anointing. I want you to think about and picture what it was like for the kings in the Old Testament, for David and those to feel that oil being poured over their head. I want you to imagine, feel that oil being poured over your head this morning. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, maybe in a really good place, great. If you're in a place where you're really struggling, you're going through some heartache, feel that oil being poured over your head as it comes down your face. Feel that dripping off your face onto your lap. it kind of feels weird. But that's the picture that I see, that I believe that's what happens when the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's from the top of our body to the soles of our feet, we're totally covered with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Pray you had a sensation, like physically, if that just flows over you this morning. I know it's a little weird. I'm not trying to be weird. But I pray that you would just feel that this morning. May you have a clear understanding or just a reminder of who the Holy Spirit is in your life. Father God, I pray this morning that it just wouldn't be in this moment, but every single moment of our lives, that we understand and that we are reminded, Holy Spirit, by you every single second of our lives, just who we are. That we are daughters, that we are sons of the living God. That we have not been left, as your word says, as orphans. We have been adopted. We have been chosen. To be in your family. And you have pursued us. And you have loved us. Long before the creation of the world, you loved us. Father, I pray that we would step into that calling on our life. That calling that we are your ambassadors to spread this amazing, fantastic news in a world that has nothing but seems like but bad news. We have through you the words of life. Our words aren't life. Your words are life. And may we tap into Holy Spirit, the power that resides in you, because you reside in us. And that we have your peace, Jesus. The world needs it so desperately. May every word that we speak be filled with peace, be filled with anointing. And may we get that on everyone around us. We thank you that we get to be part of this, that you have given us all these things to live out our lives here in this place at this time. And I'm so grateful that we don't have to live on our own strength and our own power and our own wisdom and our own peace and our own remembrance of who you are. You continue to speak to us. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship. As soon as the instrumentalists get up on the platform. Yeah, you're doing good.
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Love of God. Interesting, I watched a video this last week on this song, and the heading kind of caught me as an unbeliever watching his reaction to this song. He looks like he watches a lot of worship stuff, but he got about halfway through the song and he like just burst into tears just from the lyrics of the reckless love of God that he would chase after us. It impacted him, and it sounds like he's in connection with a pastor. But I thought it was just fascinating that here's an unbeliever that would choose to put out there on a stream his reaction to a Christian song that he doesn't even know. That's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of life. That's the power of the living Holy Spirit that resides inside of us through someone who wrote a song. This gentleman watched. I had to mess up his life. I think it's kind of cool that he took a risk on tapping into the power of a living God that you do not know. But I believe that doesn't Scripture tell us, you know, seek him while he may be found. I believe this gentleman is seeking the Father. So let your words this week, you don't know, the person that wrote that song that put it out however long ago it was, had no idea that that's the kind of power it would have. I'm sure we all, when we speak, when whoever writes songs, they pray that into the music and what they write. But ultimately, it's up to Father. And it's our job to step into the story that he's writing and let the anointing of the Holy Spirit really drive you this week. Let it mess you up. Let it get on everyone around you. Fling that oil everywhere. You are dismissed.